Okay, so welcome back, everybody. It's a couple of days before Shavuot, and Rabbi Jay is participating today in a March for Israel in Toronto, and that's why the Yom Iyun was last week. So I'm giving a share on, can you say for Shmuel, but I can't hold back from teaching about Har Sinai because it's 3 days before Shavuot. So how do we do that? Well, it's real easy. We're ready to transition from Sefer Shmuel to Sefer Malachim. David was chosen over Shaul, which was a big topic in Sefer Shmuel. And the first thing, the last thing David wanted to do was to build a house for God. We saw in Devarim how he got everything ready. And then the first main thing the Shlomo does is builds a house for God. And so the idea of a house for God, building a Mikdash, is definitely central to the theme of both Shmuel and Malachim. David's desire to build it, which is the background to why one of the indicators why he's chosen over Shaul. We'll see that in a minute. And then and why it's so important that Shlomo builds it. And the main thing is, what's the purpose of this Mikdash? And to understand the purpose of the Mikdash and its importance, we have to realize that the Mikdash is basically a reliving Har Sinai. So if you don't understand the purpose of the Har Sinai experience, you can't understand the purpose of the Mikdash. Because in essence, the purpose of the Mikdash is to recreate the Sinai experience from what happened in Sinai and continue through Jewish history. Now, it's going to be important to us to understand Mamad Har Sinai, to understand the Mikdash. And when the temple was destroyed and the rabbis of Yavna basically took the function of the Mikdash and moved it to the synagogue, that was one of the big things they did in Yavna. And they did such a good job that we're surviving pretty well without a Mikdash. So to understand the purpose of a Beit Knesset, it's necessary to understand the purpose of a Mikdash. And to understand the purpose of a Mikdash, you have to understand Mamad Har Sinai, and I'm going to try and cover that today. That's really a course, but I'll try to do it all in an hour. We'll give it a try. Already? So I'm going to share the, I got a feeling that the source sheet wasn't up on the website yet, so I'm going to share it again in the chat for those who came in recently, and I got to figure out how to do this. No, that's not share my, I need to share a chat, okay? Chat. Okay, they keep on changing the menu on. Okay, let's do that again. The source sheet is here. Okay, so that should be set now. You can download it if you want. It's linked to my drive. And now I'm going to share my screen. It better be open. Let's see if that's there. Okay, here we are. So now we have to, I have to share my screen. And now we'll start our class. Share screen. We had a 4-minute introduction, and now we can get to work. Okay, class number 40, the centrality of the Mikdash in Nevim Rishonim and Chumash, in light of the purpose of the Mamad Har Sinai and Chumash. We just explained the title before. And as I said, today's right before Matan Torah, so we can pick a better topic for today. So I want to review what are the key differences that we talked about between Shaul and David. Because it's not the main topic of Sefer Shmuel, but it's underlying topic. Because bottom line, Shaul is unchosen, even though he was chosen. And David was chosen, and he was chosen forever. There must be something in the character of David that makes him chosen to be the eternal kingdom, or the model for an eternal kingdom. And something about Shaul that made him not fit for that. And one of the key things is reflected in how they relate to the Mishkan and the Mikdash. And the best source for that will be in Sefer Divrei Hayamim. Something's wrong with my screen, but I guess I'll make my whole screen bigger. Maybe that'll do it. Okay, that's better. That's it. And it goes like this. We're in chapter 13 in Divrei Hayamim Aleph. David just became king, and he moved his capital to Yerushalayim. He captured the city, moved all of his men and all of his infrastructure to Jerusalem. And the first major act that David does as king, once his capital city is secured in Jerusalem, uniting the northern tribes with you, the southern with Yehuda, with Benjamin, basically Yerushalayim being located between the tribes of Leah's children and Rachel's children on the border between Benjamin and Yehuda. So then, and we talked about last week about when and why Yerushalayim was chosen to be the place for Mikdash, because God answered David's prayer there, and therefore David decided that's a makom asher yivchar Hashem, a place that God answers prayer. And then the Shifnoti Rishu Bat Hashama, We're going to go over those Sukkim one more time today. But listen to what David does. Vayvaetz David means David takes counsel with his leaders and the other leaders of the country. Im sarei halafim v'meot, that's all the national leaders, and everyone in charge. So he basically has a council of all the leaders of Israel. V'emer David l'chol kahal Yisrael. He makes the following proposal to the whole nation of Israel. Notice the word kahal. Sounds like hakel. Remember Kodeshim Tiyu, Kol Kahal Adat Yisrael? Kahal was always a good description of the Jewish people. And Yom HaKahal, we see in Sefer Dvarim, is another name for the day of Matan Torah. Parsha Vayakhel, they gather the nation together to build the Mishkan. So that description of Am Yisrael, Kol Kahal Yisrael, is already indicating what direction we're going in. And he says, this project of building the temple can't be a private initiative of just the king. The people have to be involved and the people have to be interested. So he says, Im alechem tov, if you think it's the right time, if you're interested in this initiative, and umin Hashem Elokeinu, if Hashem is with us, nifritza nishlecha lachenu, hanisharim b'chartzot Yisrael, let's send out, or let's, nifritza is a really strange word. We'll return to it in a minute. Like, uparas teyama, the word nifrotz is that, who is named after that verb?
Parents.
Peretz. Why was he called Peretz? Because when he came, there was a little struggle between with his brother, and he sort of came out first. Remember what the mother said? Ma paratzta. And therefore, and he's the great great grandfather of King David. So it's interesting that in the birth of Judah's son, who later becomes, you know, the great grandfather of King David, we have the word nifritza, and later we'll see Peretz Uzzah later in the chapter when things go bad. But the verb, and where do we have this verb in Chumash? We ever talk about that? Especially in relation to a temple.
For us,
When Yaakov had his dream in Beit El, if I'm not mistaken, didn't God say, let me just make sure my memory's not hurting me. Let me share my screen, open up a Chumash real fast. Oh, that's why the chat's open. There we go. Let's share my screen and open up a little Chumash. One Chumash, and that's going to be Bereishit chapter 26. And let's hope I got it right. Unless someone found it before me. Okay, Bible, Bereishit chapter 26. Yaakov's dream, chapter 28, my mistake. Chapter 28, verse 10. Yaakov has his dream. Right. Remember the word makom? It's, we have to, we, I think we did this, one of the recent shiurim. But, the word makom is central to Yaakov's dream, and we had it by Avram in the same makom, makom HaMizbeach, where he calls that in God's name in Beit El. And he has a dream. He sees angels going up and down. And what's God say? I'm going to be with you. And you know, I'm the place you're going to build. You're in a land that you're going to get, even though you're leaving. And then, Vayazarcha kafar haaretz. Afar goes back to creation. Afar min adamah. Ufaratzta. That's the big word. Yama v'kedma son of enigma. You're going to burst out in all four directions, and you'll bring blessing to all the nations of the land. That idea that we'll connect in one place between heaven and earth. That'll be the Mikdash, Yerushalayim. And from there, we emanate in all four directions. And even though you're leaving, I'll be with you and I'll bring you back. When Yaakov wakes up, he says, this is a place to build a house for God. And he makes his famous resolution that if indeed God takes care of him and he comes back with a family and in peace, etc., then he'll be able to build his house for God. And he marks the spot with his matzeva, puts oil on it, and he promises to fund it and work there. And that's the famous story of Yaakov wanting to build a Mikdash. And ultimately, it's David who's going to fulfill that neder. Because Yaakov can't, because what happens with his kids, and takes hundreds of years until we finally get to, I think we talked about that, the background to Vayvarech David. So that's why that the Divrei HaYamim using the verb, and David using that, say, nifritza, the nishlacha, it's a strange word, but when you understand the context, it makes perfect sense why the Navi uses that. Now let's go back to share screen and back to our source sheet. So again, David says, And with the Kohanim and Levim, etc. Remember the name Kohanim and Levim? That comes up a lot in Sefer Devarim. We'll see. Right? And let's gather everyone together. And here's the key point. Let's bring the Ark of God that was collecting dust in Kiryat Yarim. Why? During the reign of Sha'ul, Sha'ul did nothing to take care of the Mishkan, nothing to take care of the Aron. They were basically neglected to the point that Nov Ir HaKohanim, where the Mishkan was destroyed for political reasons. Sha'ul did nothing to take care of the Aron in Kiryat Yarim. And the first thing David does is he builds his capital city in Jerusalem, brings the Aron to Jerusalem, and then wants to build the house for God. Okay? And what does the Kahal answer? Say the word Kahal again. It's okay to do it. Why? Ki yashar hadavar b'nei kol ha'am. See that idea? Remember, hayashar b'nei Hashem? And this is yashar. We have to do hayashar b'nei Hashem. That's also from Devarim. And also in Shmot. And now the people are doing, building the Mikdash is yashar b'nei ha'am. And indeed, vayakel David and kol Yisrael min ha'shechor mitzana devol hamat, widest borders, to bring the Aron from Kiryat Yarim to Yerushalayim. And David brings it up from Kiryat Yarim, and not here. Remember, God is called here the Aron, where God's sitting on the Kruvim. In other words, God's Shekhinah rests between the Kruvim, where God's going to speak. Remember, in Chumash, God speaks between the two Kruvim. The communication between God and His people, figuratively, is between the Kruvim. Asher Nikra Shem. Let's go back to Dvarim HaMakom Asher Yivchar Hashem L'Shaken Shmo Sham, the idea of God's name. They bring the Aron, and then we have the tragedy of Peretz Uzzah, but that's not our topic for today. But they're all dancing. It's like Bich Hachnasa Sefer Torah. What went wrong? The topic, which we're not going to go into now. So that's why David, as he said, different than Sha'ul, because he puts building this one central place at the center of his kingdom. Now, let's review again what we did last week about the psukim from Sefer Dvarim, which we discussed, just to review them. It says, when you come to the land and conquer it, don't destroy all the places of idol worship. Don't replace those places of idol worship with places of God. Instead, don't serve your God in all the high places, etc. Instead, go to one place. Ki ima l'makom, and that was the big phrase, ha'makom eshev har Hashem, because shivtechem l'assum et shmo sham. The place that God will name and its purpose is to make God's reputation great. And how do we find it? God will choose a place, again, to answer prayer. And we have to search for the place, and we'll find it. And that was the story we did last week or 2 weeks ago with David. And there we're going to bring all of our sacrifices, and your firstborn animals. And we're going to eat there and rejoice there in front of God. Basically, it's a place of rejoicing. Now, which korbanot here are missing? We have Olot and Shlamim. What korbanot are not mentioned here?
Mechatos and Yasham.
That's right. Ever wonder why? I mean, you could say we don't want to bring up bad topics, but not every chatat is a bad korban. But why dafka olot and svachim? Hopefully we'll return to it soon. Now, I want to begin with now that we have that background and review, I want to review the famous Ramban in the beginning of Parshat Truma, where he comes to explain why the first topic, when Moshe goes up to Har Sinai for the first 40 days, why is the first and basically only topic in Sefer Shemot is the commandment to build the Mishkan and then actually building the Mishkan after they solve the problem of Chet HaEgel. So what Ramban is talking about, after we have Mamad Har Sinai is Parshat Yitro and Mishpatim, chapters 19 through 24. Chapter 24 is over. We have a ceremony. We all say Nasa B'Nishma. We bring Olot and Shlamim, if you remember. Moshe goes up for the first 40 days to get Luchot HaEvan, the symbol of the covenant, and the Torah and the Mitzvah, which we'll have time maybe to talk about soon. And then what happens? He's there for 40 days and 40 nights. And the next Parsha in Chumash is going to be the Mishkan. Remember, from chapter 25 through 31, we just have the Mishkan and that's it. So why is that the first and basically only topic of Sefer Shemot? So Ramban's going to explain how important the Mishkan is. And if that's what the Mishkan is about, the Mikdash keeps the same importance, because the main difference between Mishkan and Mikdash, Mishkan is portable. because we're in the desert and we're on the move and we have to go and conquer Israel. So ultimately, we need a permanent place, a permanent Mikdash. But until we're ready to build a permanent Mikdash, we have the portable Mikdash, the Mishkan. The Mishkan and Mikdash is the same idea. The main difference is its portability. Therefore, Mikdash has walls made out of stone, and the Mishkan has mechitzot, partitions made out of canvas. Now, so he says as follows. Ramban beautifully ties all of Sefer Shemot together. Watch what he does. Kashir diber Hashem im Yisrael panim b'fanim aser tadibro. First, God, we entered a covenant with God, and he stated what we call the ten, what you call the Ten Commandments, what Chumash calls the Ten Statements, the contract between God and his people. We'll return to that idea soon. Tam Moshe ksat mitzvot. In other words, they heard the Ten Commandments directly from God, panim b'fanim, and then they heard and they got scared, and then they got a small sampling of commandments. That's Parshat Mishpatim, isn't it? That's exactly Parshat Mishpatim, the three chapters of laws, chapters 21 through 23. Not all the Torah, but we have a sampling. We have laws about, basically laws of Nezikin and laws about, of, little Choshemish, but a little Yoredea. But that's the unit of law in Parshat Mishpatim. And these are Shehem Kmo Avot L'Mitzvotel Shel Torah. They're like principles, for the laws of the Torah. Now, anyone can tell me why is Ramban using the word avot? Avot here means principles. If you know the laws in Parshat Mishpatim, and it starts after Eved Ivri, starts with basically assault and damages, basically what we have in Masechet Nezikin, Shomrim, and basically, you know, when if you steal something, paying double or four or five times and things like that, all the laws we find in Masechet Nezikin. Why is he calling these laws avot? Anyone want to give a nice simple answer?
Isn't there a place where he himself writes that it's impossible to legislate every single detail?
He writes in Sefer Dvarim on Vasiti Asher B'nei Hashem, and he quotes Pesukim from Kedoshim to you. But Ramban, besides his commentary on Chumash, also was a great Talmudist. Anyone who learned Talmud, the Ramban, his commentary on Talmud is even greater than his commentary on Chumash, I think. But how does Masechet Nezikin begin? Remember Masechet Nezikin? The first Masechet Bava Kamma. What's the first mission of Bava Kamma?
Arba Avot
Nezikin. See, understand how on the mark the Ramban is? So he's using the word here, Avot, because he's referring to laws in Parshat Mishpatim. And these are principles that the rabbis derive. We don't learn laws from there, we learn principles, and then we apply the principles to every case, as time goes on and new situations come up. And that's Torah Shabbat Pelerin. Now, so that explains Parshat Mishpatim. And then he says, Kasher Hinigu Rabotenu Im Hagerim Shvayim Litahed. What's happening to the Jewish people, Ramban compares to a mass conversion process. Remember, fitting for Shavuot, because that's what Megillat Rut is sort of about. But he says, Am Yisrael is a nation because we came out of slavery. We weren't Jewish yet. We didn't have our Jewish heritage yet. We only had a tradition about being chosen one day, becoming a nation, but we're still, our culture was Egyptian up until then. And now we have to turn Am Yisrael around and make them a nation representing God. So the process that we go through is first making the commitment at Har Sinai, and then we get a sampling of mitzvot, not all the mitzvot, but a sampling of the key mitzvot, and that's enough to become Jewish. And we do the same thing with Gerim, with converts. They have to learn everything, but they learn the principles, and then they can be converted, even though they don't know all the details yet. And Am Yisrael agreed to keep these laws and anything else that God Moshe would teach them. Okay? And then the Karati Mem Brit Al Koza. That's chapter 24. That's Brit Nasa Venishma. Remember, Ramban's keeping Chumash in order. And then he says this big statement. Where's that coming from? Remember the four cups in the beginning of Parsha Va'era? Remember this phrase, Hinehim lo la'am v'hu yel Elohim. Kashrit namim t'chila. We'll go back to the Brit Sinai in a minute, but just I'll show in Chumash real fast. You know these psukim by heart. But if I go back to Parshat Va'era in Shemot, Bible Shemot, chapter 6, God tells Moshe, go tell Am Yisrael the following, Ani Hashem, I'm your God. The first three, what we call the Shonot of Gula, which we drink to at the Seder, is Votzeti Etchem, okay? Vitzalti Etchem, Begalti Etchem, That's fulfilling Brit Ben Haftarim and coming out of Egypt. Then, v'lakati etchem li'la'am, v'ayti lechem l'Elohim. That's what Ramban's referring to. That has to be Har Sinai and the commitment we make at Har Sinai and the covenant we make. And then we'll know, Ani Hashem Elokechem, who took you out of your suffering from Egypt. That's the first line of the Ten Commandments, isn't it? Onochi Hashem Elokecha, asher hoteiticha me'eretz Mitzrayim, mi'beit avadim. Beit avadim here is mitachat tzibot Mitzrayim. That's where you were trained. And then after you make that commitment, then I'll bring you to the land so you can set up the nation by Beitchem El Aretz, which I lifted up to give to your ancestors, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and you're going to come and inherit it and possess it as your Yerusha. Moshe tells them, remember, they don't accept it yet. They're not ready for it yet, but now we're finally ready. Understand? So clearly that's what Ramban's referring to. This phrase here, a phrase that repeats itself all through Chumash, Parshat Bechukotai, we had it in the, if we keep his mitzvot, we have it in Parshat Nitzavim, we have it all through Nevi'im, especially in Yirmiyahu. Now, going back to our source sheet now, back to the Ramban, what's the Ramban say? Now that we accepted the covenant, even though we didn't get the entire Torah yet, we didn't get all 613 yet, we understood the principles, we made that commitment, and therefore we're his nation, and he's our God. Him lo la'am v'yid Elohim. Just like he made the condition in the beginning, and that's Brit Sinai, that goes back in chapter, and let's just show you where that's coming from. But he's going to quote, stop this share and go back to our Chumash. Should have just done it right away. In chapter 19, which we're going to read for this morning, he's referring to this. Chapter 19, here we go. Am Yisrael in the third month come to Har Sinai. Moshe goes up to God. God tells him, make the following proposition to the nation of Israel, the house of Yaakov. Kotomar Beit Yaakov. Look what I did for you. I brought you here. Remember? On Kafe Nisharim Airlines. And now you're at Har Sinai. And now let's make a deal. And now, Im Shemoa Tishmu V'Koli U'Shmartem Et Briti, are you willing to accept my covenant, to be my covenantal partner, to accept Brit Sinai and obey me? That will make you my skula. You'll be my cherished, you'll be my chosen nation, my treasured nation, even though I'm the God of all the other nations. And then if you accept that, then you'll be for me a mamlachet kohanim v'goy kadosh, a priestly nation, a nation representing God, a nation separated from the other nations for the purpose of serving God, to be a light to those nations. And that's the proposition we make. And then we're going to accept that. And then we have the whole ceremony and we get the leads to the contract in chapter 20. So that's what the Ramban is explaining, basically what's happening in Sefer Shemot. And how the main topic of Sefer Shemot is the covenant between God and his people. He's saying, he's quoting what we just read in Sefer, in chapter 19. Okay. And now that they accepted that responsibility, Hinehim Kedoshim, right? They're separated to serve God. And now because we're in the service of God, we need our clubhouse. Right? We need a place, Ru'in She'ele Mikdash, Lashrot Shekhinato Benhem. Now we're ready and we need a Mikdash as a reminder, as a symbol of our connection to God. Building the Mikdash doesn't create the relationship. The Mikdash reflects the relationship. It's not the Sibah for the Shekhinah, it's a Siman of Shekhinah. You understand the difference? It's not if I build a temple, God Shekhinah will be there. It's that if God Shekhinah is with us because we're raving properly, then we're worthy of building a temple. So the Mikdash doesn't bring the Shekhinah. We have to be worthy of the Shekhinah and then we can build the Mikdash. And therefore, Sibat Chilah Dvar HaMishkan, because the Mishkan is the symbol of God's presence being with us and our covenantal partnership between God and his people, now we're worthy of having a Mishkan. And that's why the first commandment, God tells Moshe on Har Sinai, is to build a Mishkan. She'eh lo bayit b'tocham mukdash lishmo. Mukdash lishmo. A house representing, dedicated, not to feeding God, but for God's reputation. Right? We call party headquarters. From the Mishkan, God will continue communicating, and the rest of the Torah, Ramban saying, will be from the Mishkan because the Mishkan is replacing Har Sinai. Now, and then I'll conclude with this. Why is the Aron the first commandment? It's first, Vasita, Vasu Aron, Atzei Shittim, etc. Because the Aron is a place where God's dibur, God's communication with Am Yisrael will continue. As it says, after the commandment to build the Aron, I'm going to meet you there. I'll speak to you from the Kapor between the Kruvim, everything I'm commanding the Jewish people. And therefore, the Aron comes first and the Kaporet, because the Kaporet is the most. And then after that, after the Aron, we have the Shulchan and Menorah. And then, and they explain what the Mishkan is about. And now it's big line, because he's a Kabbalist. Bestora Mishkan. And we did this, everything just to get this line. Sheha Kavod Asher Shachan Ahar Sinai Shochein Ala Ben Istar. And Har Sinai, what's called Nigla. Nigla means you can't miss it. God's presence is felt. Everyone felt it. Thunder, lightning. They heard God speaking directly. That was an intense experience. Nigla, you couldn't be missed. The idea of the Mishkan is we want to reach the same level of closeness and identification with God, remind of our partnership with God, but it's not with fire and brimstone. It's not nigla. It's nistar. What's nistar? The very symbol of our connection is covered. The whole Mishkan is about covering. Layer over layer of covering. We know something's inside, but we never see it. Okay? Now, and he makes the beautiful proof that we think we did that when we studied. I'm sure we did this way back, where the psukim at the end of Parshat Mishpatim, when Moshe goes up to Har Sinai to receive the Luchot, are the same psukim when the Mishkan is built in the end of Sefer Shemot, chapter 40. Says Vayishkon for Hashem Har Sinai, and in Dvarim we have the same story. Hashem showed His kavod, etc. And in Mishkan it says Ukvod Hashem Aleta Mishkan, and therefore Vayeba Mishkan Tamid Im Yisrael Hakavod Shinrei Lav Har Sinai. So Ramban's making his point crystal clear that the Mishkan, when a Jew comes to visit the Mishkan, he's sort of reliving the Sinai experience. Or in a nutshell, Am Yisrael never leaves Har Sinai; we take it with us. And when Moshe came there, just like Moshe would go up to Har Sinai to receive instructions from God to keep the mitzvot, so the dibur that Moshe received on Har Sinai is going to continue from the Mishkan. And he brings examples from Har Sinai, God spoke to you from the heavens. In Mishkan it says, Vayashem et hakol medaber mi'al kaporet, God will speak to Moshe from on top of the kaporet between the two kruvim, and I'll speak to him. So that's, in a nutshell, that's the Ramban. So that's already a drasha for Shavuot, that When you come to visit God in the Mikdash, you're not coming to feed God, you're not coming necessarily to pray, you're remembering your relationship with God.
Well, I have two questions. First of all, we know that the big focus of whether the Mishkan was built independently, or whether it was built in response to
Chesed. Okay, so that's a whole class in Sefer Shemot, but in a nutshell, Ramban is 100% right. I'll try to give the short version of it. It requires a whole shir, but I'll just give you the bottom line. Ramban is 100% right that the Mishkan is a mini Har Sinai. Everything you said is 100% right. But Chazal, quoted by Rashi, claimed that the Mishkan that we're building, it was only commanded after the sin of the golden calf, because when you study the Mishkan is also a kosher egel. I think we discussed that way back one time. Because there are so many parallels between a symbol of God leading us into battle. Aaron made an egel, now we're going to have a better symbol of God that's going to lead us in war. But the symbol of God would be our connection, our keeping the mitzvot, and not a symbol of power, but rather a symbol of keeping His Torah and representing God by our behavior. And being a model nation. And that's just the God of power and might. So it makes a lot of sense that listen carefully. It makes a lot of sense, Rashi's opinion, that the actual commandment to build the Mishkan that we're building was given after Chet HaEgel. But that doesn't mean there would not have been a Mishkan had not been for Chet HaEgel. Is that Chet HaEgel changed maybe the sacrifices we're going to bring or the nature. But I want to show you in Sefer Dvarim. We're going to get to that right now. Your question is going to lead us right to the next part of this year. What I want to show you is that Ramban is right that we definitely need a Mikdash. But had it not been for Chet HaEgel, listen carefully, had not been for Chet HaEgel, there'd be no reason to stay at Har Sinai or to stay in the desert and build a portable temple. We could have continued traveling from Har Sinai right away, captured the land of Israel with its Yirah in a miraculous way quickly. Within a couple of weeks, and settle down. And instead of building a portable symbol of God, we could build something permanent. In other words, the need for a portable Mikdash was because of the events of the sin of the golden calf. But the need for Mikdash would have been there anyhow. What I want to show you, the Mikdash, the function of the Mikdash, especially the permanent Mikdash, we would have had no matter what. We're going to find that those details in Sefer Dvarim, because Sefer Dvarim will see are the laws that were given on the first 40 days. And the specific portable Mishkan that we build in Sefer Shemot, that specific commandment was given after the sin of the golden calf. If that's the case, Truma Tetzaveh should be after Parshat Ki Tisa, after sin of the golden calf. But if Chumash was in chronological order, then the reader would think that the only reason for the Mishkan was because of Chet Egel. By taking the commandment to build the Mishkan out of chronological order and juxtaposing it to Parshat Mishpatim, that's to highlight the function of the Mikdash as a continuation of Har Sinai. Hope that was clear.
Thank you.
In other words, chronologically, Rashi's right. Thematically, Ramban is right. But the reason why Chumash is chronologically out of order is to support Ramban's thematic opinion. In other words, chronologically, Rashi's opinion is correct. But the reason why Chumash is chronologically out of order is to highlight Ramban's approach that the Mikdash is a symbol of Har Sinai. Now, that symbol doesn't need to be portable. The portability of the Mikdash is continuing Har Sinai. The need for a portable Mikdash is because of Chet Egel. And therefore, to highlight the connection between Har Sinai and the Mikdash, we put the the commandment to build the Mishkan earlier. Okay? Hope that was clear. And now we'll continue. I want to show you this now in Sefer Dvarim, and we'll take us to what David is doing. Just want to make sure I'm using the right, let me make sure I'm using the right microphone real fast. Microphone. Okay, webcam. That's good. Okay, let's go back and share my screen. What we're going to do now, and let me just check out if there's anything in the chat. I'm pretty sure the chat is clear. Let me take a quick look. No, okay, nothing in the chat. Alrighty, let's continue with what I want to do now is understand why David is doing everything that Sefer Dvarim is talking about, and why when you understand Sefer Dvarim properly, we'll get a much better idea. I open up the wrong file again. we'll understand much better what David is doing and why it's so important. Okay, so let's go back to our source sheet, Roman numeral 4, okay? This theme of a place of national gathering, David wants to fulfill the commandment from Sefer Dvarim, is HaMakom HaShir Yivchar Hashem LaShaken Shmo Sham. Why is that mitzvah so central, and how does it relate to the establishing a kingdom? So, to appreciate why, we have to do and review what Sefer Dvarim was about. Now, I'm sure we've done this 1,000 times, in different, but just to make sure you remember, Sefer Dvarim is not a review of the first four books. That should be crystal clear, even though everyone says it is. It simply isn't, because it isn't. Because it maybe 10% of the first four books is in Sefer Dvarim, and what is usually is told a bit differently. And 90% of Sefer Dvarim we never saw before. So Sefer Dvarim is a review of laws. It's a Mishneh Torah, but it's a set of laws that needs constant review. It's not a review of the first four books. It's a set of laws that Moshe received on the first 40 days on Har Sinai. These laws are the most important laws of Chumash. They came with the Ten Commandments, and they're the main book of Chumash. That's why they're called the Torah. So that Torah, Shasam Moshe, is referring to the laws of Sefer Dvarim that Moshe receives on the first 40 days. How do we know that? Moshe says so in Sefer Dvarim. It's just black and white. It's as simple as could be. I want to show you that now. And what I want to show you is that if I want to understand where do I find the main set of laws that will facilitate Am Yisrael fulfilling the goal of Har Sinai to be a nation representing God, not individuals representing God. Laws of day-to-day life, you know, how you run your marketplace, how you run your judicial system, that's Parshat Mishpatim, etc. Laws about Tuma and Tara and Kedusha, that's Sefer Vayikra. But laws about establishing a nation representing God, about your judicial system and Supreme Court, about your legal, your political leadership and how your political leaders need to act, cities of refuge, how you go to war and who goes to war and when you go to war and how you conduct the war, laws, marriage laws and divorce laws and Yibum laws, laws of social justice, your economic laws, it's called Shemitah Kesafim, your educators, your civil servants, Kohanim Levim, how they're funded, the Trumot and Masorot, we'll see, All these laws that we find in Sefer Devarim were given on the first 40 days for a very simple reason. Thematically speaking, there's no reason why any law that God wanted to give us should not have been given on the first 40 days. Because the original plan was to enter a covenant with God. Right? And then Moshe goes up to Har Sinai to get the rest of the laws. And all the laws that God originally wanted to give us should have been given on the first 40 days. Because of what happened with the sin of the golden calf, the nature of the covenant has to change. Maybe the laws of the Mikdash are going to change a little bit. Maybe the idea of tshuva and maybe Korban Chatat might change. There might be new laws because of those events, but the core laws of becoming a nation representing God, those should have all been given on the first 40 days, and they were. That set of laws is so important to get their own book, and that's a set of laws that needs constant repetition. Moshe taught it to the people numerous times, over and over again, in the first year, in the first 2 years, and then, but then after the sin of the spies, it's not relevant. And now that the new generation is ready to go in, he has to teach it one last time. And that's Sefer Devarim in a nutshell. And everything I told you is written black and white in Sefer Devarim. Now, what I want to show you is these laws of Devarim, they're so important. Remember, they're not a review of the first four books. It's the main set of laws that are going to build us as a nation representing God. And they need constant repetition. Hence, they're called Mishneh Torah. The Mikdash is central to that set of, to that law code, because from a practical point of view, without you know, media and without communication and without printing presses and without you know, cell phones, etc., how are we going to make sure that all 12 tribes remain the same religion? We need one central place of authority that's visited constantly by the entire nation. And we're going to see in Devarim, there's numerous laws that are guaranteed that every Jew comes and visits Jerusalem on a regular basis. Jerusalem will be, or Hamakom Shivchar Hashem, what specifics, the geographic location can be determined later, but the concept of one central place, one central national center, was the center of justice and authority and halakha and guidance. And there'll be a whole core, I think Kadr it's called, of educators and teachers called the Kohanim and Levim. They're going to be supported by the 10% master system. There'll be also be funding to make sure everyone comes to visit. Remember, everyone has to pay what's called Maser Sheni, or Maser Rishon. Maser Sheni. 10% of the produce belongs to the owner, but can only be consumed in Jerusalem. All these laws are going to guarantee, I should have mentioned Shalosh Regalim, we'll see. Chumash wants every Jew to frequent this one central place on a regular basis. And in theory, that's going to keep the nation united and staying in the right direction instead of and remaining one religion and 12 religions. Okay? It's straightforward, simple, and logical. And I'm going to show you that Sefer Devarim, and that's the main event that happens at Har Sinai. Let me, as long as my screen's open, let me just go back to my regular Chumash. And remember, we got the contract, the Ten Commandments, in chapter 24, number 24-7. Moshe takes the Book of the Covenant and says, Naaseh V'Nishma. And then they sprinkle the blood, and everyone says, Naaseh V'Nishma, that's right, and we sprinkle the blood. Leadership grows up and accepts the covenant. And then, after that is finished, in Pasuk Yudbet, in the next Parshia, God tells Moshe, Elai Elai Ahara, come up the mountain. This will be for the first 40 days, and be there for a while. But Na Lecha Luchot Evan, I'm going to give you there the tablets of the covenant, what we call Luchot Abrit, which are going to be in Aron later, and the Torah and the Mitzvah, which I want to show you are the laws of Sefer Devarim. And God's writing down for you to teach them, and that's what Moshe is going to do. Moshe goes up with Yeshua. The elders are told Aaron and Hur in charge, at least to send the golden calf in the meantime. Kvod Hashem is now in Har Sinai, just like it later was on the Mishkan, as Rambam pointed out. God summons Moshe to the mountain after waiting 6 days. The people see God's glory on the mountain like a consuming fire. And Moshe goes inside the cloud. And Moshe is on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. So in Chumash, the next parsha is building the Mishkan. That was the Ramban's whole point. That takes us from chapter 24 to 25. And he's right that that's highlighting the connection between the Mishkan, Mikdash, and Har Sinai. But this specific commandment to build the Mishkan, the portable one, might be because of Chet Ego, and that we talked about briefly before. Now, what I want to show you is that when Moshe goes up to Har Sinai, get Luchot Eben, the Torah and the Mitzvah, that's exactly Sefer Devarim. Now, when Moshe comes down from Har Sinai, he should teach these laws. But he can't because of the sin of the golden calf. Because of the sin of the golden calf, the focus of Sefer Shemot moves to renegotiating the covenant. And God has to be more forgiving. And hence, we renew the covenant with God announcing his attributes of mercy, which makes his covenant workable with a nation who's a stiff-necked nation. I'm sure if God Shekinah can be with them because God's willing to forgive them and we can learn from our mistakes. And we have that entire story. And then actually building the Mishkan as a rehabilitation project to be worthy of God Shekinah. Remember, Simeat B'Shachanti, build the Mishkan in order for God Shekinah to return once again to the people, and which will enable us to go to Israel. And Sefer Shemot ends with the Mishkan being assembled and God Shekinah returning to it. And that was the Shemot. But what we never find out is, what were the laws of Moshe got on the first 40 days? I want to show you now in Sefer Shemot. Moshe teaches these laws to the people. If we go to chapter 34, that didn't work. Here we go. If we go to Shemot chapter 34, here we go. Verse 29, verse 27, verse 27. Moshe comes down. You know, it's, remember the Yud Gimel Midot Rachamim or Pasuk Vav Zayin Chet. Remember Hashem Kevrachum Mechanun, etc. That's going to be the renewed covenant with Midot Rachamim. When that's all over, Moshe comes down from the mountain with the second luchot. His face was shining, etc. That everyone's afraid. Finally, he breaks the ice with Aaron and the elders, and then Achrechen Yikshu Kol Bnei Yisrael, all of Am Yisrael goes. Moshe now, after he receives the second luchot, after three sets of 40 days, right after Yom Kippur, Moshe now sits with the people and teaches them all the laws that we got on Har Sinai. Now, Shemot only tells us about the Mishkan, but all the laws he got in the first 40 days and last 40 days, he teaches the people. Sefer Shemot tells the story that that's what Moshe did, but never tells us what those laws were. Because we just said Moshe taught the laws and he put on a mask, took off the mask. It talks about how he taught them. The reader of Chumash never finds out what laws they learned. Where do we find out what laws he received? That's going to be Sefer Dvarim. Now, the laws of Dvarim are so important, they have their own book, and these laws have been repeated and taught many, many times, and Chumash records them and Moshe teaches them the last time. Now, that speech began, I'll just go quickly to a regular Chumash. The speech, the main speech in Devarim, remember, the Devarim and the speech, and we want Sefer Devarim. The Devarim and the speech, which is the main speech from chapter 5, we'll see in a minute. Moshe taught Bnei Yisrael now in Eivar Yarden, but the same speech was given in the Midbar, in the Aravan, all these different places, because it's a set of laws that needs repetition. And the main time it was drilled over and over again was during the 11-day journey from Mount Sinai, from Chorev, till Kadesh Barnea. That's when we sent the spies. Had the spies come back with the right attitude and the people wanted to go to Israel, that would have been the last journey to the land of Israel. And therefore, what are we learning in preparation for conquering the land of Israel and setting up a nation? All the laws of Sefer Dvarim. In the meantime, we have the sin of the golden calf. I mean, the sin of the spies and everything's put on hold for 38 more years. And then finally, in the 40th year now, after defeating Sihon and Og, Moshe teaches his laws one last time. That's introduction. Before he teaches his laws, he gives his introductory speech, which is why it's been 40 years. And therefore, he focuses on the sin of the spies. And that's why Moshe's presentation begins with the spies and why it's been 40 years. But also how God's with them now, all their defeat of Sihon and Og, etc., how they're captured the Jordan, why he's not going with them, Parshat Etchanan. And then, after that introduction, the main speech begins in chapter 5. And chapter 5 begins with the famous line, where are we? Chapter 5. Moshe gets all Israel together and tells them, Shema Yisrael. And Moshe starts talking here in chapter 5 and continues to chapter 26. That's called Numa Mitzvot, the main section of Sefer Dvarim. And it's introduced in chapter 4 with, right beforehand, at the end of chapter 4, what do we have? We have at the end of chapter 4, Bezot HaTorah, Asher Sam Moshe. What's coming up in the next speech will be the Torah that Moshe taught Bnei Yisrael, which includes the Chukim and Mishpatim, which Moshe told Am Yisrael first when we left Egypt in Har Sinai. And now in the 40th year, in every Ardain, he teaches it one last time. After we defeated Sichon and Og, and the speech begins in chapter 5. And in the beginning of chapter 4, he explains everything I just told you. He says, now Israel, listen to the Chukim Shpatim I'm teaching you today to be worthy of conquering the land. Don't add and don't take off. You saw how God punishes when you sin. You better continue pleading to God. But Temet Vikim, you survive Baal Peor here. And then he tells him, pay attention. I'm teaching you today. Chukim Mishpatim. Moshe is saying, I'm about to teach you in this speech. Chukim Mishpatim. That God commanded me to teach you to do in the land you're going now to conquer and possess and set up a nation. And make sure to keep them. Why? Because that's your wisdom and understanding the eyes of the nations. To be a light to other nations, they'll hear and see how you keep them, how you talk, how you act, how you behave. And through our behavior, that hopefully will facilitate other nations recognizing God and how they should behave as well. Okay? And they'll say, remember God says, Abram will be a Goy Gadol. And then they'll say, Kimi Goy Gadol. Where's their nation that's so close to God? Because we call out to him and he answers our prayers because we're following him properly. And where do we have a Goy Gadol and great nation with such just laws like this Torah? Which I'm teaching you today. Therefore, this Torah, which is a speech, includes Chukim u'Mishpatim. And the mitzvah we'll see will be loving God and fearing God. We'll see in a minute. So that's the introduction to the speech. And then he tells him, make sure not to forget what happened in Har Sinai, the day you stood at Har Sinai. When God told me, Hakel li ateidam, I told you man, the word Hakel for Har Sinai is called Yom HaKahal. We said that by David. I'll tell them my word that, and the goal is not just learning the laws, but learning to fear God all the days and teaching that fear to the children. You know, you stood in Har Sinai, your ancestors, in the fire, and God talked to you from the fire, and then you all got scared. And then at Har Sinai, Ve'gedechem et Brito, God told you his covenant, which he commanded you, Aser Tadvarim. That's why they're called Brit. Remember? Luchot HaBrit, because they're the covenant between God and his people. He wrote them on the two stones, on the two tablets. And at the same time, when we got the Ten Commandments, at that time, to teach you these chukim u'mishpatim, to do in the land you're going now to possess. So the laws of Sefer Dvarim, which are introduced as the Torah, okay, which includes chukim u'mishpatim, they're primarily this set of laws, this unit of laws, is how to establish and set up a nation that's going to represent God as a nation in the land of Israel. Make sure to keep them, etc., and then not to make, it goes into Avodah Zarah stuff, not for now. Now, if I take a look at these laws, I want to show you the centrality of HaMakom Asher Yivchar Hashem, that David's building, in this law code. Where are we? Stop this share and go back to my source sheet. And we have 10 more minutes. I don't think my throat's going to last much longer, so it'll be perfect timing. Where are we? I messed up again. Okay. Share screen. I didn't share screen. Share screen. Here we are. And okay. So we just reviewed all this. Moshe goes up to get these laws. We just did all this, what we just reviewed. And it's all based on the covenant we made in Har Sinai that we saw. Are you willing to be my covenantal partner? And you'll be a Mamlecha Kohen B'Goy Kadosh. Now, if you look at the outline of Sefer Dvarim, it's real simple. Chapter 5, Moshe explains the covenant and why he's teaching the laws instead of God himself because you got scared. So he gives a background when these laws were given and what they're part of. They're all part of a covenant that you made in Har Sinai 40 years ago. And the speech has two sections, the mitzvah section, which starts with the Shema and ends with Vayim Shemoa, basically Parshat Etchanan and Ekev, or chapters 6 through 11. And the Chukim Shpatim section begins in Parshat Re'eh, with chapter 12. Now, Shema Vidim Shema is attitude, loving God, fearing God, etc. That's called the commandment of loving God. We'll see it's the definition. And the practical laws of how to set up that nation will be in chapter, start with chapter 12 to 26. But I want to show you now, this is a review, how the laws in Devarim, which you should be more or less familiar with, at least the order of the Parshiot, of the Parshat Shavua, they all parallel the Ten Commandments. And look how simple it is. The mitzvah section, loving God and fearing God, is parallel to Anochi Hashem Elokecha and Lo Yelecha Limacherim. It's the first statement, or the first two statements, that I'm the God who took you out of Egypt and I'm your boss. You're working for me. You can't work for anybody else. You can't serve other gods. That's basically summarized in chapter 6 through 11. So the HaMitzvah section is the first two Dibro. Okay. Now I need something parallel to the commandment, don't carry God's name in vain, which means you're chosen to carry God's name. That's your responsibility. The contract says, don't do a lousy job. Remember why you're chosen to make God's name great and don't mess up, basically. Don't do a Chilul Hashem. In contrast to that now, the parallel to that, we have the mitzvah to make God's name great. And that's by establishing HaMakom HaShir Yivchar Hashem L'Shaken Shmo Hashem that we saw in chapter 12. In chapter 12 begins the Chukim Mishpatim section of Chumash. And that's parallel to the third commandment. We have a whole chapter or two about establishing that place, when we do it, how we do it, etc. After chapters 12 and 13, in chapter 14, we have the seven-year Shemitah cycle, 3 years Maser Sheni, then third year Maser Ani, and then years 4 and 5, Maser Sheni and year 6. But that's a 10% tax where the money is set aside and you eat it in Yerushalayim. But after that, we have the 7 days of an Eved Ivri. He works 6 years. The seventh year, he goes free. Then we have the 7 days of Chag HaMatzot, the 7 weeks of Shavuot, the 7 days of Sukkot, and the seventh month. And all those laws of 6 and 7, that's parallel to Shabbat. Then we have Shoftim v'Shotrim, the judges and all the thing, and then the Kipelim Chadar Mishpat and the Supreme Court, B'Makom HaShir Yivchar Hashem. If we have time, we'll take a look. But I'm sure you know those Tukim. They're in the first Aliyah in Parshat Shoftim. And that's parallel to honoring parents, because we have not just the Shoftim, not just the judicial system. We also have the king, and we have the Kohanim Levim, the teachers and educators. We have the Navi Sheker, as opposed to the Navi Emet. And that's parallel. No, it's that leadership is parallel to honoring your parents in the Ten Commandments. After that, we have setting up Arei Miklat in chapter 19, which will prevent murder. So Shoishabech Damlaki. And then laws about going to war and how you go to war, when you go to war, Kohen Mashuach Melchama, etc. That's parallel to Lot Tirzach. And then we go from Lotinaf with Eshet Yifat Tor and later laws of marriage and divorce and things like that. And then we have laws about stealing, about paying your workers on time, about social justice. And basically it's a whole melange between, basically Lot Tachmod and Lot Tignov, etc. All go together because it's really one long sentence in the Ten Commandments. And basically, if I follow the laws of Sefer Devarim, they pretty much follow the format of the Ten Commandments, but applying it to a nation. And the proof is simply the end of the speech, because the speech begins with Moshe calls Israel together and tells them, listen, I'm commanding you. And then Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem, our boss, made a covenant with us at Har Sinai. And later, remember, Hashem Elokeinu is Hashem Echad. That's already in chapter 6. At the end of the speech, he says, this day, since chapter 5, I've been talking to you. Even though I'm teaching the laws, these are God's commandments. Hashem Elokech Metzavcha Lasot Et Hachukim Et Mishpatim. I'm only the middleman because you asked me to tell you instead. But these laws, I didn't make them up. They're directly from God. Make sure to keep them B'chol Levavcho Nafshech with the right attitude, like in the Shmash section. Okay. Now, you took upon yourself in relation to God that he'll be your boss. B'yot Lechad Elohim, that was Brit Milah in that fourth cup. The Lecha B'Derechav is doing Tzedek Mishpat. That's chapter 18 in Bereshit. To keep all of his laws. That's all the law codes in Shemot, Vayikra, and Devarim. And Tobeim, remember Shemot Yishmu B'Kholim. That took upon himself that you'll be his Am Skula, like he told you at Har Sinai. We saw those Tzukim. And to put you in a leadership position above the nations for God's glory, name, and renown. And that will make you, that will fill the goal that Tem Tudim Andech Koni V'Goy Kadosh. Remember, that was the just go back and take a quick look again. Remember, at Har Sinai, we'll be Yiskula, and we'll be from a Mamlecha Kohen Yivgoy Kadosh. So if we keep all the laws of Sefer Dvarim, that will facilitate our becoming a Am Kadosh L'Hashem L'Chacha, as he told us at Har Sinai. And the purpose of this whole relationship is for God's reputation, glory, and praise, so that other nations see how we behave in our relationship with God, and that can sanctify God, and hopefully lead other nations to good behavior as well. So, in light of that, David's desire, and let's get to my key point because my time is up. David's desire to build a house for God and basically to fill the list of Sefer Devarim is not just another mitzvah. It's David's focus is to make sure the nation, as a nation, is going to fulfill its biblical goal to be like other nations. Now, first, you have to have secure borders. You have to defeat your enemies. You have to be established. You have to build a just society. But David is the first Jewish leader since we captured land in the time of Yeshua to put it all together. He had a difficult time, but what makes David Mashiach, what makes David the ideal model for leadership is because he's fulfilling the biblical goal of how to become a nation in the service of God. And once other nations look up to you, once you're a superpower in the Middle East and you act properly, you have a strong army and you have a strong economy, but you use your strength to do good, to do justice and righteousness, and you become the model for good behavior and other nations come and visit and are impressed. David is going in that direction. The symbol of that movement will be this is desire to build a Makom HaShiv HaRashem, but it's so important, it's got to be done perfectly. And one little mistake on the way, remember that was the story of Peretz Uzzah and events like that. So that's what I want to share with you today. I was to share basically about Mamad Har Sinai, but just to review, Mamad Har Sinai is our commitment to be a nation in the service of God. and together with this, with the contract, the Ten Commandments, comes a set of laws which tells us how to establish that nation, that will be God's nation forever. And the laws of Devarim were given to Moshe on Har Sinai in the first 40 days. Now, when Moshe teaches the laws, he adds some review, he adds some explanation. Yeah, he throws in a lot of mussar. Remember what happened to Miriam. Remember what happened with Chet Egel. Remember what happened in all these different places. But the laws themselves are 40 years old. The mussar, the rebuke he gives, is new. But it's important to note that these laws, and that explains why there's no Mishkan in Sefer Devarim, because the laws of Sefer Devarim, had we not sinned with Chet Egel, we would not have needed a Mishkan. We could have built a permanent Mikdash. Would we have needed a Korban Chatat? Yeah, you could argue. But that we don't know because we don't have. But the laws in Devarim are kept in the original form, even though the actual halacha might change afterwards. But the laws of Devarim, and they're taught and they're repeated and they're read at Hakel every 7 years. That's the main book that builds principles of how we serve God as a nation. So I'll end here. And if anyone has any questions, I didn't see much in the chat. Either means no one.
I think I would say, yeah. I love the Ramban, what you say about the Ramban talking about the mitzvah, which I'd never noticed that before. That mitzvah is the mitzvah of, he calls them avot, recalling not only avot nezikin, but the shlosha avot, Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, who introduced the Amidah, which is called the Amidah because it recalls Ma'amad Har Sinai.
Because we're obeyed at Amidah, because we're standing in front of God in his service, like a servant in front of his, working for his master. I should have pointed out the Hamitzvah section in chapter 11 in Devarim. Where is that? In chapter 11, after Vayim Shemoa. No, that's the second part of Kriyat Shema, the Manu B'Yimechem. After we finish the Vayim Shemoa, Moshe summarizes, Kim Shemorti Shemot Kol HaMitzvah Zot. If you keep this mitzvah, which is what's the HaMitzvah, which I'm commanding you, to love God, Lavat Hashem Elchem, to walk in his ways, and to cling to God. Right? That's your attitude. Right? That's the first section. And when we say Shema, we're referring to that attitude element. And then after that's finished, we have the blessing and the curse when you come to Israel. And then because you're crossing the Jordan River to go conquer the land that God's giving you. And then Ushmartem Lasot et hachukim v'tamishpatim. When you possess the land, begin its conquest and set things up, make sure to keep these chukim mishpatim, which I'm giving you. And then Eila chukim mishpatim already in chapter 12 that begins with Hamakom Asher Yivchar Hashem.
I think Ramban is saying we don't only recall this when we say Shema, but we recall the Ma'amad Har Sinai each time we daven the Amidah.
That's the question. Was Elokei Abraham is the God who took care of Abraham, or the God that Abraham talked about?
Right.
Which I think it really means the God, because we're about to talk about God, and just like Abraham and Yitzchak and Yaakov talked about God, made a name for God. They were Korei B'Shem Hashem, and therefore what we say, B'Zocher Chasdei Avot, U'Mevi Goel L'Bnei B'Nehem, he can bring redemption for his offspring, for their offspring, for us. For what purpose? Leman Shmo, Yehova. But again, we sanctify his name by turning to him in prayer and acting properly. And Melech Ozer Moshiach again, but to give God a reason to save us is if we act in a way that makes his name great.
Leman Shmo.
God can intervene, but his intervention is a function of our behavior.
Leman Shmo is the third of the 10 commandments.
Yeah, that's Amakom Moshiach, Shmo is that same thing. So again, in general, that's that I want to, I mean, I was a classroomer for Shavuot, but it also explains why David, I think Chazal say midrashically that David's your site was your is Shavuot, wasn't it? Now you understand why?
Yeah.
It's not a historical fact. It's thematically right on the mark. Speaking of midrashim and their depth. Okay. Everyone have a good Chag Sameach, and we should continue to hear good news like we had, I mean, good news together with unfortunately lost a soldier, but Baruch Hashem, we got some, the hostages back. And God should watch over us, and we should be zocha for more nisim.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
Okay. So have a good week, everybody.
Thank you.
And Chag Sameach.
Chag Sameach.
Thank you. Chag Sameach. Thank you.
Where are we? We have to stop the recording and the share and stop the recording. Okay.